Thank you for tuning in to the Architect Introspect, the Architect's official radio broadcast on 91.9 KXRJ, the voice of Arkansas Tech. My name is Jonan Mitchell, and I am the co-editor-in-chief of the Architect. In the wake of the ever-changing scope of news media, the Architect has decided to expand into a multi-platform news organization to see news stories, opinions, and sports highlights written by Tech students. Visit our website online at architectnews.com. Disclaimer: the views expressed within an opinion piece are solely those of the writer and do not necessarily reflect upon the views of the paper as a whole.
Hello, and welcome back to the Architect Introspect, the Architect's official radio broadcast. My name is AJ Schaff.
And I'm Bob Williams. Today we have two stories, an opinion, an entertainment piece, an editorial piece, and an update on our Tech sports teams in their exciting games earlier this week.
Now, without further ado, let's get right into the first story by our co-editor-in-chief, Tara Espinosa, covering the recent Boo Bash celebration in lieu of Halloween.
On October 29th, the Student Government Association hosted the first Boo Bash on campus. Boo Bash is a Halloween-themed tabling event for the registered student organizations on campus to hand out candy, flyers, and buttons to students. It was created according to Marquise Vasquez, SGA Secretary of Diversity and Inclusion, because he noticed a lack of celebration for Halloween in colleges. Students that came to the event were able to carve pumpkins, take photos at the SPJ photo backdrop, and grab goodie bags and candy from different RSOs. The event was not open to the public yet due to COVID-19. Still, Vasquez hopes next year will be different. He hopes to realize a way to tie the neighborhood in with the students. He also hopes to improve the event for next year. RSOs decorated their tables, and there was a costume contest for Tech students. There was also a self-guided haunted tour around the Tech campus. His goal is to feature more RSOs and more students. Vasquez was pleased with the students' turnout. For more information about SGA, go to www.atu.edu/SGA.
It's exciting to see all these events coming back to Tech students.
I agree. Hopefully we will be able to open these events back up to the community next semester.
Next up is a story from our contributing writer, Remy Christensen, about the exotic Russian tortoises of the Tech campus. Walking by McEver in the afternoon, one can see a tortoise walking across the lawn. This is one of three that are kept on campus. The tortoises live in the tank in McEver, where most of the Tech science courses are hosted. Finally named Roly Poly and Littlefoot, the Russian tortoises are cared for by students, many of which are in wildlife or biology-related majors. The campus of Arkansas Tech hosts more than a few animals on its grounds. However, not all of these animals are wild. Each tortoise has a marking on its back to distinguish them. Roly has a blue mark, Poly has a red, and Littlefoot has a silver one. The tortoises are fed vegetables such as lettuce or turnip greens, as well as the occasional addition of more nutrient-dense foods like green beans and carrots. In order to feed them, students use a stepladder to climb into the tank and replace the old food with new. Sometimes the tortoises will come closer to access the situation. They commonly crawl atop of people's shoes. The tortoises spend time outside of the tank. Roly, Poly, and Littlefoot are let out 1 to 2 times a month to free roam across the lawn near Heinzman Tower while their enclosure gets a thorough cleaning. Poly also runs as far as the library during these times, whereas Roly typically stays near the starting point. These days are known among the keepers as turtle walks, When the tortoises get to free roam and graze, they are also bathed on these days. Russian tortoises live in a very dry, warm environment, but they are able to be bathed occasionally to keep the substrates from the enclosure building up on their bodies. Rolly is currently being let out every Tuesday and Thursday due to her overeating until it gets too cold for tortoises to free roam.
Make sure to go visit our shelled friends near the McKeever Building and send your selfies to our social media pages on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook.
Our next piece is an opinion concerning the recent Hollywood gun tragedy from our contributing writer, Trinity Lisk.
The headlines have been everywhere. Actor Alec Baldwin fatally shot a filmmaker on set with a prop gun. This is an occurrence that should never have happened and brings up a meaningful conversation over safety on film sets and in Hollywood. Helena Hutchins was the director of photography working with Baldwin on the set of Rust. She was a trailblazing cinematographer. In 2019, Hutchins was named 10 up-and-coming directors of photography who are making their mark by American Cinematographer. On October 24th, she was killed after a prop gun discharged by Baldwin misfired. She was 42 years old. The director, Joel Souza, was also wounded by the misfire. It is unsure exactly how such an accident occurred. There are several contradicting witness accounts on how Baldwin's prop gun became loaded. Many are placing blame on assistant director David Halls. This is because an assistant director's role is to regulate the set. Therefore, it is believed that it was his responsibility to ensure firearm safety on stage. Gun supervisor Hannah Gutierrez also bears responsibility for the accident. It has been said that she has no idea where the live ammo was introduced. No ill intent was meant, but this failure to inspect and be extra aware of every firearm on set cost a woman her life. This situation brings to light the conversation on firearm safety in Hollywood. Hollywood's history of gun-related tragedies is not a short one. Brandon Lee, actor and son of martial artist Bruce Lee, was famously killed after being shot by a gun that was supposed to fire blank cartridges. These incidents point out a genuinely fatal flaw in the film industry. There are no concrete set of firearm regulations across the industry. According to the Associated Press, gun safety on film sets is not regulated by the U.S. Federal Workplace Safety Agency. Most states also leave the industry to self-govern. Studios like Warner Brothers have published safety guidelines, but there are no enforceable rules set in stone that extend across the industry. Because of this, innocent filmmakers get hurt, and in Hutchins' case, killed. In the wake of recent tragedy on the set of Rust, significant studios are re-examining their gun safety policies, and many are calling for a ban on live firearms on set. Popular showrunners Eric Kripke and Alexi Hawley from The Boys and The Rookie respectively have both declared that they would only be using CGI and VFX barrel flashes in their productions. California Senator Dave Cortez has pledged to push a bill banning live ammunition on film sets in the state. These are all important progressions in the industry. Lives should not be damaged for the sake of authenticity. Viewers are not going to stop going to movies just because they used airsoft prop guns. The technology in the film industry has grown far too advanced for live weapons to be used on set still. There is no good reason for dangerous firearms to be used on set anymore. Accidents like the death of Hutchins could so easily be avoided. All that is needed is some initiative in the industry. Hutchins' death should not be in vain, and should inspire film and lawmakers alike to better govern the use of dangerous weapons on film sets. Her life should be honored by protecting the lives of others in Hollywood like her.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to Helena Hutchins' family as they go through these very difficult times. The following is an editorial on the Tech campus losing some of its history.
Disclaimer. An editorial is an opinion piece written by the co-editors of The Architect and expresses the outlook of the news organization on a topical issue. Tearing down buildings, replacing household names, and forgetting the original roots of Tech is happening on campus now more than ever before. Tech's master plan was approved in October of 2017. This plan includes the demolition of Young Ballroom, Stadium Suites, Tucker Hall, and Witherspoon. These plans have yet to happen. We at The Architect ask the university to preserve the history of it. Tech losing history has already begun, with the destruction of Rouse Hall and the Stroop Building in spring of 2018. Now, parking spaces and a student volleyball sand pit have been established where these buildings once stood. With their destruction, these names have been mostly forgotten by new and prospective Tech students. Rouse Hall was dedicated on Homecoming Day in 1963 and named after Myrtle Rouse, who served on the library staff at Tech from 1932 to 69. Her history is mostly forgotten, with no monument or plaque at the site of where the building once was. The Stroop Building was alive during an era when the Wonder Boys' dominance in basketball was at an all-time high. The team had 11 intercollegiate conference titles and two NAIA semifinal berths. The building was named after Henry Stroop, who served the college from 1911 to 1933 and was a former member of the Board of Trustees. His history, like Rouse's, is gone. This is not to say that we are condemning this master plan. In fact, the architect is welcoming this change. Change is a part of life, but forgetting the past should not be. Tearing down buildings is the answer to issues like weather damage, outdated plumbing, or costs. Buildings have to be demolished, but why can Tech not find a way that honors those that they are named after? If Tech keeps going without honoring the past, these names will mean nothing for future generations that come to campus. The architect would like to preserve the honor of those the buildings were named after. We believe this can be achieved by adding a plaque in the building site, creating a monument, or hanging a photo of the building with information of the person in the library or the new structure that was built. The architect is worried that the university planning to tear down these buildings will result in Tech losing a lot of its ingrained history. We ask the university to not let the legacy of these people be lost to history.
And last but not least is the thrilling volleyball game that happened earlier this Tuesday. Our Golden Suns got off to a rough start, losing the first two sets.
But then, out of nowhere, they made a comeback and won the next two sets, leading to a nail-biter tie-breaking fifth set.
Unfortunately, they fell 15-10 to Henderson State, but put up a heck of a good fight and made us proud.
Next Tuesday night's game against Arkansas's Monticello will be streamed live through the GAC website under Women's Volleyball.
Also, make sure to attend the final home game next Thursday night, which is also senior night. So make sure to go and support our amazing Golden Suns.
Similar to the volleyball game, our Wonder Boys made an amazing comeback in their game against Southwestern Oklahoma State in Weatherford, Oklahoma.
At halftime, they were down 7-3 and 14-6 at the end of the third quarter. It seemed all hope was lost.
However, with only 8 seconds left on the clock, Jesus Sizumbo kicked a 36-yard field goal and won the game for Tech, the final score being 15-14.
He was also awarded Co-Special Teams Player of the Week in the GAC Conference. Also, make sure to attend this Saturday's game for Military Appreciation Day.
And with that, it is time for us to sign off. Thank you for tuning in to the Architect Introspect on 98.9 KXRJ.
To read more on any of the stories featured in today's broadcast, make sure to check our website at architectnews.com.
The music of today's broadcast was provided by C418 and is called Stall. You can find more music from C418 on YouTube and Spotify or at c418.org.
We wish our sports teams the best of luck as they head into the end of the season, and we will be back next week with your slice of Tech news.